Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up in just a bit, we'll take you to the little town of Onancock, Virginia, to learn how a group of unpaid actors and one passionate theater director have been helping to keep the arts community alive and thriving on the shore. And speaking of artists, we'll also meet one of the region's most heralded painters, Patrick Henry. But first, Maryland became one of 9 states, as well as the District of Columbia, to pass same-sex marriage legislation. And if you look at recent nationwide polling, it seems a growing number of Americans are trending in a direction that supports marriage equality. Delaware is one of 5 states that allow civil unions for same-sex couples. But this year, proponents of same-sex marriage would like to see Delaware pass legislation similar to Maryland's. So joining me to talk about this is Lisa Goodman. She's the president of Equality Delaware. Lisa, welcome to Coastal Connection.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So first, let's talk about some of the differences. I know many people, they look at this, they aren't really sure the differences between what a civil union is and what same-sex marriage would allow. I think that's a good place to start. Let's talk about the difference between what's already allowed in Delaware and what you guys are pushing for this year.
Sure, that is a great place to start. We were incredibly pleased when, in 2011, the Delaware General Assembly passed civil unions. And civil unions provide state-level protections for same-gender couples. But civil unions are very different than marriage. You know, everyone knows what a marriage is. A marriage is the ultimate commitment that is made between, you know, two loving people who want to spend their lives together. And when you go to a hospital in a moment of crisis, or you have a child born, you know, people don't always know what a civil union is, but everyone knows what marriage is. And, you know, when kids grow up and they think about falling in love, they think about getting married. And members of our community are no different. And so marriage is different in that it is what everyone else aspires to, and it is what we aspire to as well. And, of course, in addition to that most important reason, you know, marriage at the federal level is very different than civil unions. At the federal level, there is no such thing as civil union. So with the Defense of Marriage Act up in front of the Supreme Court this year, and most people believing that it is going to be found to be unconstitutional, moving to marriage is even more important for our community.
You know, even though more states are passing same-sex marriage laws, I mean, it's up to 9 now, including the District of Columbia. You know, most states across the country, many of them are even going the other way. They're passing bills that support these DOMA laws or defense of marriage laws. I guess, how do you feel about how quickly so many Americans are trending in a direction that supports marriage equality? It seems like it's really catching fire, and people are, on this particular social issue, really either changing their views or very publicly coming forward in support of marriage equality.
Yeah, I think that's correct. When we look at the national polls, we see that people are changing they're evolving on marriage equality at the rate of about 4% per year, which for a social justice movement is truly unprecedented in terms of the change that's happening. And you know, the states that have passed constitutional amendments, most of those were passed about 10 years ago, give or take, and when they were hooked to other election cycles. Recently, of course, we just saw for the first time 4 ballot initiatives in favor of marriage equality pass in the 2012 election cycle. We saw voters in Maine actually adopt marriage at the ballot. We saw voters in Maryland and Washington defend marriage at the ballot, and we saw voters in Minnesota say no to an attempt to add a ban on marriage into their constitution. And I think that, as much as anything, shows you where the nation is moving toward as far as its understanding that marriage should be for everyone.
So where does Delaware stand at this point? Is there any polling that says where Delawareans stand in this debate, whether, you know, they're happy with civil unions, or are they ready? Or is Delaware ready to move forward and follow in the steps of Maine and Maryland towards same-sex marriage legislation?
Well, I'm happy to tell you that we have just done a statewide poll, and our statewide poll shows that a clear majority of Delaware voters, 54%, support our General Assembly passing a law to allow gay and lesbian couples to marry. That is a very big number, 54% statewide. For example, in Newcastle County, the number is even higher. The number is 60%. And support is nearly as high among independents at 61% statewide as it is among Democrats, where it's 65%. And, you know, even more important, I think, is that nearly three-quarters of voters say that if their state legislator voted to support same-sex marriage, it would either make them more likely to support that legislator, 24% say that, or it wouldn't have any effect on the way they vote at all, and 48% say that. So, you know, this issue has really stopped being a wedge issue. Most voters say it's not a central issue to why I would choose to vote against my legislator. And we think that that is just indicative of, again, the movement toward belief that marriage should be for everyone.
Now, with all that said, and momentum obviously looking like Delaware wants to go in this direction, you know, when it comes to legislation passing, there is always hurdles and there are always two sides to every story. How confident are you that this year same-sex marriage will be passed in the state of Delaware?
We believe that we can pass the bill this year. We have amazing partners as far as the leadership in both the state Senate and the state house go. We have wonderful sponsors that include leadership in both houses, and we believe that we will be able to pass a bill when it gets to the floor. We have a tremendous cadre of volunteers that are out working very hard to be sure that legislators hear from their constituents who support this issue. And now we know by our polling that, in fact, a clear majority of folks support this issue, and we expect that we will be able to have our legislators hear from those folks.
The one thing that I saw this week concerning this topic that really alarmed me was, or maybe not alarmed, but certainly surprised me, was the article that I saw that said that 75 of, you know, kind of the top-ranking Republicans nationwide have basically changed their mind about their political stance on same-sex marriage. Why do you think that is, especially since Republicans kind of across party lines have been so vehemently against same-sex marriage? Why do you think there's been such a wide-scale flip-flop, so to speak?
Well, that's a great question. I think there are two reasons. Number one, you know, I think that Republicans are people of goodwill, and I think that they want to serve their constituents. And I think that as more and more people come out, that Republicans know gay and lesbian families. You know, they're the person sitting next to them in the cubicle. They might be a family that goes to school with their kids. And they see the inequities that come from not treating people equally. That's number one. Number two is Republicans can read polls, and they see the polling numbers, and they see that a majority of Americans nationwide, and in our state, a majority of Delawareans, support marriage equality. And Republicans, I think, feel an obligation to support their constituents, just as Democrats do. And they want to, you know, be certain that they're on the right side of history. And that's why I think you see the change.
You know, as this moves forward and more states continue this debate and some trend in the direction, such as Maryland and others maybe go the other direction, when do you think that this issue will either be socially acceptable or at the very least taken off of the table when it comes to political posturing or arguments? I mean, when do you think it just becomes a social issue and not a political issue?
That's a great question. You know, I think it's happening faster than even I, and I am an eternal optimist on these issues, could ever have imagined. I mean, if you had told me in the 2 years since the Civil Union Bill passed in Delaware that Don't Ask, Don't Tell would have been repealed, that New York would have gone to marriage, that Maryland and Washington State would have adopted marriage, that the president and vice president would have come out in support of marriage and directed their Justice Department not to support DOMA, and that DOMA would be in front of the Supreme Court with every circuit court that has considered it having found it to be unconstitutional, I mean, I would have laughed. And yet that's what's happened in the last 2 years alone. And I think we see from these 75 or so Republicans that have joined on to a DOMA amicus brief that you know, I think within this election cycle, within this 4 years, I believe that this is going to stop being the divisive social issue that some have tried to make it out to be. I really do.
We've been speaking with Lisa Goodman. She's the president of Equality Delaware. Thank you so much for joining me.
A pleasure to be with you.
It should be noted we also reached out to the Delaware Family Policy Council to get the other side of this conversation, but they did not respond to our request. To learn more about this issue, click to our website, wamucoast.org. We move now to a new book that is the artistic collaboration between two very talented and well-known artists here in the region. Poet Karen Prengeman provided the words and painter Patrick Henry took care of the visuals. The book is called Still Images of the Eastern Shore. It's a book of just that, striking portraits of the breathtaking scenes and landscapes in our region. But the cool thing about this book is that the work wasn't done all at the same time. Did you ever wonder when you hear a song what came first? The music or the lyrics? Well, the first thing that struck me was a similar question when I saw this book. What came first, the poem or the painting? I was surprised to find out that sometimes, like in this first poem Karen Prengeman read me, the painting and the poem were done many years apart. So as I listened to Prengeman's poetic words and I looked at Henry's serene painting of a quiet moment at the commercial fishing harbor in West Ocean City, I realized that joining the two pieces of work together made for a very unique artistic experience.
A beat silent is the harbor for now. Windbraked, boats dock. Come to an edge, landed, reframed in gold, real gold. Further in, there in the distance, we find amusement twirling around and around, up, then down, over, under, screaming, childlike with joy. We are unworked for now, like the boats, holds held, still readied.
And what struck you about this painting to write those words?
I guess this is the Ocean City, this is the working harbor, and it's so still. And then, of course, on the other side, we know there's the amusement park. Everything here is kind of waiting. It's quiet. You know that there's all kinds of things that are going to be going around, especially right before dawn when the watermen come. But so it's just that feeling of stillness, but it was also that idea that take some time and pause, but also amusement. It's not just about pausing, it's about enjoying, because that's really, and that's what the real gold is.
When you look at this, Patrick, you know, you painted this in 1985. Now the words put with it much later, you know, does this give a new experience in looking at your own work?
It does, because again, this scene is like a mile and a half from where I grew up. You know, what a special place we live, near the ocean, up and down the coast. You think of Nantucket, or you could even go to Florida and think of Palm Beach. But on the eastern shore of Maryland, it's like a special light, which is really prevalent in the distance in this painting here that struck me, and Karen so artistically put a little vignette down in the corner where the light is glancing off the side of a boathouse. And even I took for granted, you know, like this painting is the first that the collector had purchased, and the last painting, almost 25 years later, and what really struck me was the thread that ran through those almost quarter of a century of years. It really took me back.
Yeah. The book fascinates me just because it's this wonderful blend of poetry and artistry. So in this particular situation, you know, was there a formula? Was it, you know, paintings first, then poems?
I think in this case, it was the paintings first. I'm not really sure who asked first. I just know I was intrigued by her poetry, and she had started collecting my work, and it kind of synergized from there.
I gave you the poem of that house, the red house,
yes,
on the way to Assateague.
Yes.
And I gave him the poem of that, and he's like, well, I've painted a painting of that. So I think that's,
yes.
Yeah, there was just a lot of interaction between the artwork and the poetry.
Right.
That kind of came together.
What was it about his work that inspired the words that we find on the page in this book?
I think because his work, it causes you to pause. What I love about painting, the reason that I love paintings, is you really take time with them. So if you kind of take it and you just kind of flip it over and over, like someone will look at it, you miss the paintings. But if you go to a gallery or if you have it hanging in your house, you look at them, and every time you look at them, there's more to them. Because really what they are is they're bringing up the emotions that you have that you share. So I guess I sat down with them, and I think that the time when we really decided, I mean, it was a long journey to get there, but I came back with one of his paintings, and I kept finding things in them, things that would be in the grass, just images in the grass. And I would say, is that there? Or I think I wrote a poem, and that was it. I wrote a poem, and he looks at it, and he laughs, and he said, oh, you saw that? And I thought, oh, my God. And if you look at his work, that's, I think, why I love his work, is every scene, the more you look at it, the more that is uncovering. And that's Delmarva. Yeah. Like, Delmarva is not these huge, grandiose mountains, but it's looking out and seeing just the little stuff, because we're very flat. There's not a whole lot here till you sit maybe in a field and hear the crickets, you know, and see like the little crabs running around, and you can really feel those, you know, you can feel. So I think that really is what it was, is you, the more you looked, and then as I would do that, that's kind of was the idea of pulling them out. I would pull these little things out so I could write more about them. And then I started putting them on the page, and I thought, well, that will make people stop. Because that's what you want. You want to stop on the page and really think and really pause and refresh yourself.
And that's what I find really interesting about this book, is both parts of the book, the poetry and the artistry, in their own right, can cause a pause. But when you blend them together and you put them right next to each other on the page, it creates a whole different experience with it. Patrick, I was speaking with somebody the other day, and you know, the charms of the town of Berlin. And, you know, it's been said many times, and I know I've caught myself saying this before, that Berlin is like walking into a Rockwell painting. And the person stopped me and they said, well, I agree with that, but it's almost like walking into a Patrick Henry painting, because here in the region, you know, your work has captured pretty much the neighborhoods and the streets and the homes that we live in, that we, you know, walk by. Tell me about how you continue to take a small town and breathe new life into it on the canvas.
I think the real secret is to stay childlike. I always saw what I realize now, life through a different prism. Mm-hmm. I view life through light, tints, values, geometry, and I've discovered that people don't always see life in those perspectives. I guess some people get so caught up in their issues or this and that, that they don't have that time to view the world the way I did. Mm. And to be blessed with a talent, those two things meshed: my curiosity, my continued fascination with paint and how you can put different colors together to create something that can evoke an emotion.
That was painter Patrick Henry and poet Karen Prengeman talking about their new book, Still Images of the Eastern Shore. You can find information on how to get the book by clicking to our website, wamucoast.org. And if you want to see Patrick's work in person, he's the featured artist at the brand new Art League building in Ocean City during the entire month of March. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection.